this time very quietly. The kids are dismissed for Asbury Church Kids. And we're going to, if you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. It's going to be fun. In a moment, I'm going to share something exciting that's starting this week. You just have to be patient. This is going to be so good. You ready for this? It's going to be good. We started last week our new series entitled Moved by Mission. So we started by asking the question, what moves you? What moves, what motivates, what challenges, what inspires, all those things. And last week we talked about the importance of being moved by mission. That we get to participate with what God is doing in this world to help bring light, goodness, and grace to people all around us. And I'm excited because we have someone in our church that is taking this whole moved by mission thing quite literally. And that is Kendra Giese. And she is starting up a Youth Alive Club, which is a Bible club or Christian club at the school in Lansing at the high school. And so I told her, I said, well, hey, two things. So Kendra, come on up. Come on up. She's pretty amazing. So, yeah, you stand up here because then you're as tall as me. All right.
Really?
Doing great. So I said two things. I said, number one, I said, I want to make sure that we pray for you as a church because she's kicking it off this week. And how many know prayer makes a difference?
Oh, yeah.
Right? And so we're gonna take them all and pray for her. I said, number two, I said, what Bible club wouldn't be blessed by dozens and dozens of cookies?
Woo.
Yeah, can I get a witness on this one? How many know high schoolers love cookies? Right, come on. And yeah, our high schoolers are raising their hands. And so this is because this is what I think. How many know we don't do things alone, but we get to do them together? And so this is what I'm going to ask. So Kendra's kicking this off this week. I'm just wondering if we would have people that would be willing to bake cookies this week to help Kendra as she kicks off this group. And this is what I'd love for you to do. If you have a communication card, write down your name, write down your number, and we will get in contact with you with the day that we're going to kick this thing off. Thursday. It's going to be Thursday. So drop them off Wednesday. Perfect. Even better. You can just drop them off on Wednesday, and we will bring them. And how many think it would be awesome if we had, oh, I don't know, a couple, 300 dozen cookies? How many know if you're going to do it, you might as well overdo it. Come on now. That's my view of cookies. If you're going to do it, might as well overdo it. But if you'd be willing, would you please mark that on a communication card? Because as Kendra steps into this fun adventure, we want to make sure that she not only gets to be blessed because we're all supporting her, but she gets to be a blessing. And so as a church, one of the things we believe the church is a contact sport, and we want to pray for you, young lady. So you get to stand down here. I'm going to invite the church to gather around Kendra, and we're going to pray for her as she steps in. Just step out a little bit further than they come in behind you and all around you. All right. And we want to pray blessing upon Kendra at this time. Amen. Yeah, just squeeze in, people. Squeeze in. It's okay. I love social grooming. Dad's playing with her hair. Let's just pray right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are so good. I thank you for Kendra and her willingness to serve you. And God, to be a light in our school. And God, we just ask that, Lord, you would bless her, Lord, as she continues to move into starting this Bible club at the school. Lord, I pray that you would continue to open doors and shine your favor upon her and upon this group. Lord, I'm asking that, Lord, you would awaken hearts, that, Lord, people would experience your love, your grace, your forgiveness, and the transformation that comes from knowing you. God, we just speak blessing over Kendra's life. Lord, we pray that you'd help remove any fears. Lord, I pray that you would bring just a team around her. And God, even as we gather around and pray for her today, God, we're committing in our hearts also to keep her in prayer as she begins this amazing adventure. And Lord, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's give it up for Kendra. This is so fun. Hey, remember, she's starting it up Thursday. Bring cookies Wednesday. And while you're at it, come to family night. We've been having a great time at family night. Bring some cookies. But could you also keep Kendra and in prayer throughout that whole day? That would be so, so awesome. Again, as a church, we need to be moved by mission. So our theme verse, we're looking in Matthew. We began at the end of the book where Jesus brings his followers together. And he says this, he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." And the command that he's given is to make disciples. And we're really called to continue what it is Jesus began. And this mission needs to move and motivate us. Let me ask you a question, because if you're a follower of Jesus, did you know that you are called to be a part of the disciple-making endeavor? Did you know that? If you're a follower of Jesus, you are called to be a part of the disciple-making endeavor. And that could be on the front side, where you're helping bring people into a relationship with Christ Jesus, or developing them as they come into faith in Christ Jesus, and you continue to grow them forward. So let me ask you this. Who is the person that you are in the process of discipling? Who are you discipling? Because all of us need to be engaged in this great mission of Jesus, which is to make disciples of all nations. And so today, as we think about this, we're going to talk about getting something started. Getting something started. Now, how many know getting things started can be a little bit of an effort? Right. So I remember sledding. How many of you, I know it's not winter and we can keep that away as long, because how many would like this weather for a few more weeks? Right. But then at some point it'd be nice to have snow, maybe for Christmas, and then a couple days after, and then back to this. I would love that. I'd be good with that. But how many remember sledding when you were a kid?
Oh yeah.
And you're at the top of the hill and you have to scoot to get going. How many of you were scooting to get going? I remember this, right? You're like, come on, let's get this party started. You're like, let's go. And it's just like, scoot, scoot, scoot. And you're like, it's not doing enough. And so I grew up, so I got like a brother, I have three sisters. And so when we were younger, we would go out, because I was up in Canada, and so like winter was like, what, 8 or 9 months of the year. And so it wasn't quite, but it felt like it. You're like, let's go sledding. We would call it tobogganing. Oh, yeah. And so we would get to the top of the hill, and then the greatest joy was to push your brother or sister as fast as you can, so they would just go tearing down the hill. And how many know the fun starts once it starts picking up speed?
Oh, yeah.
You got to start moving, and then there's that momentum. I like to think of it as, I don't know about you, have you ever hit panic speed while you're, you know, sledding? Panic speed, that moment you're like, going, I got this, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm going to die. I've experienced those moments. But it takes a push, something to get it going, because what you want is movement, and then once it starts moving, the momentum begins to take over. And when it comes to mission, this is what I believe. I believe that you and I are called to be a part of getting things moving, so that momentum can start taking over spiritually for people. You know, if you stopped and you know, thought about the people in your world, there are people who need to be touched and changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are lives that are going through difficulty and pain, and we watch it even the world around us, and we're like going, you know what, we need something to change. And the reality is we've been invited into this amazing mission with Jesus. And the thing that I want to think about this morning as we talk about getting things started is the idea that the mission sets good things in motion. That when we become committed to the mission, what we do is we are actually setting good things in motion. Now, we recognize in our world, we need a whole lot more better things. Like we recognize the hurt, the brokenness. We see the pain. We see the frustration. We see the things not just in, you know, outside our area, but sometimes in our own circles themselves. And we're like, God, we just long for something better. And we're convinced that it is Jesus who changes everything. That the problem that we deal with, that everyone deals with, is ultimately not outside of them, but deep within them. And so as we think about this idea of getting things started, we're going to read Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. And again, Jesus has already told, you know, as we looked last week, we're going to find out, he's going to get to the end and says, what I want you to do is I want you to make disciples of all nations. And so we might be wondering, well, how do we do this? How do we get this thing started? And so what we're going to do is we're going to kind of look at how Jesus got it started. And so we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to begin at verse 18. And it says this, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said. And I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And they were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and followed him. So Lord, even now as we get ready to look in your word, we're asking that you would speak to our hearts, that you would change our lives. Lord, I thank you that your word is living and active, and it helps us live the purpose for which we're called. So God, teach us this day, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we think about this passage this morning, I want to note three ideas about making disciples. The first is simply this. Making disciples is about divine invitation. It's about divine invitation. I love how this passage begins. It begins with Jesus walking beside the Sea of Galilee. Like Jesus is in his going. He is walking beside the Sea of Galilee, and it'll say even going on from there. And so there's this idea of going. And if you remember last week when we talked about the Great Commission, which is that passage in Matthew chapter 28, it begins with the word go and make disciples. And in that passage, the main thing is make disciples. And what we're being called to do is actually in our going, go ahead and make disciples. And we noted this important thing, that if we are followers of Jesus, wherever we set our feet, we are actually called to live on mission. We are called to make disciples, to start something good no matter where we are or where we go. And we see this with Jesus. As he's walking, he begins to make disciples. It says he saw two brothers. And they're beside the Sea of Galilee. And I love this idea because he goes up to them and he says, come follow me. You see, Jesus wasn't waiting for people to come to him. He just met people where they were at. And I think about making disciples, an important idea in making disciples is really learning to meet people where they're at. How many know people are at all sorts of different crazy places? Mm-hmm. Right? And I'm not talking just geographically. How many know that there's people that they wrestle with all sorts of things? Sometimes they're wrestling with doubt. Sometimes they got like different belief systems. They got all sorts of things. Yet Jesus met them right where they were at. And he says to them, come after me. Now I know in the passage that we read, the way the NIV translated it, it will say, you know, come follow me. But the language that Matthew writes in literally says, come here. And then come after me. And so it's kind of like this directional thing, which is kind of interesting. How many of you got puppies? Okay, my puppy is getting old. We have a dog. Her name is Hazel. And you can tell she's getting old because she's getting gray on the chin. You can also tell I'm getting old because there's a little gray on the chin. But if, you know, our dog, if you've seen our dog is a little hyperactive at times. She's like hyped up on sugar all the time. But at nighttime, she loves to go up into our room and just lay down.
And we know
he's getting ready for bedtime, and so we always send the dog out, because how many know you need to walk the dog at least one more time before you go to bed?
Yes.
Well, good night. And so we're like, okay, so I'm like going, Hazel,
come here.
She's laying on the floor. She'll just look at me and say, nah, I just like it here. And it's kind of funny. You're like, come here.
Like you're there,
but you need to be over here.
Come here.
That sounds like a really good idea. But I think I'll stay right here.
And you know what
I've found?
See, what
Jesus does is he actually says to you and me, he sees where we're at in our world and our spaces, and he says, hey, I want you to come here. I want you to move from where you're at and move from the things that you think the way life ought to go. And what I want you to do is I want you to come to me. This is actually a really big deal.
I don't know
where you are in your spiritual journey. I don't know where you are in your relationship with God. I want you to know there's actually a divine invitation where God is like, I want you to come here. I want you to be
with me.
You see, what Jesus came to do is just so amazing. He came to restore relationship that was broken between humanity and God because of sin. Sin is just our choosing to do our way apart from God. Sin is us thinking we know better than God how to get the good things. And so there's pride and there's rebellion and we set ourselves up against God. But he's just like, listen, I love you so much, I still want you to come to me. And the divine invitation is always just simply, just come. Jesus desires, God longs to have a relationship with you. Doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't even matter what your present reality is. God loves you and he says, hey, I want you to be with me. Come. And then he not only says, like, come here, but he's like, come after me. And this idea of going after, have you ever noticed people are chasing after a lot of things? If you notice in our culture, in our time, people are chasing after all sorts of things, thinking if I can get this thing, then I'm going to find the good stuff. And so some people are chasing after relationships, chasing after wealth, chasing after position. Chasing after this and chasing after that, thinking if I can just get a hold of this, then everything will be good. Yet Jesus says this, come. And I want you to chase after me. Because in finding me, you'll find, like if you begin to follow Jesus, he begins to touch and transform our lives. You see, part of this mission that you and I have is actually to help invite people into relationship with God. Whether it's at the beginning of their journey or inviting people into a deeper relationship with God. Because what God wants to use our lives for is to impact the people around us. Secondly, making disciples isn't just about divine invitation. It's also about promised transformation. I want you to know that God wants to change lives for good. That he wants to change our lives for the better. Do you remember growing up singing, I will make you fishers of men? How many were singing this one at Sunday school? Fishers of men. Fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. I'm not going to go farther than that.
But you remember that
I will make you fishers of men. Now, how many know fishing is good stuff?
Come on now.
I only got like one or two fishermen. Come on, who's a fisher people? Come on. It's good to drown a worm every once in a while, get the line wet. Like that's good stuff. I actually had intention this week to go fishing, but I never got there. But I did go golfing, which is nothing like fishing. But fishing is a good thing, and just so you know, what Peter and Andrew, James and John are doing are actually good things. They are fishing, And their fishing is a way by which they provide for themselves. The fishing is a way by which they help the community around them. Like, fishing is not a bad thing. But Jesus comes and says, hey, you know what? This is what you're doing, but I want you to understand, I want to call you to something higher. I want to call you to something that has greater purpose and greater meaning. And he's like, I want you to understand that if you will follow me, if you will come after me, I will transform your life. You see, Jesus sees the divine potential in every person. He sees us, he loves us, knows where we're at, and he sees what it is that we can become through his grace. And so, the divine invitation, the idea of making disciples, is really seeing lives change. Do you know what the greatest joy of being a pastor is? The greatest joy is watching people changed by the grace of God. Watching people who have struggled with addictions fall away. Where there have been relationships that get restored. Where people begin to find a purpose and a meaning that's far higher than just the stuff they're a part of. And this is what Jesus promises. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you. I will help you be a part of something that is so much greater than that which you've ever imagined. The third thing I'll note about making disciples, so it's divine invitation, it's promised transformation. And not only that, it's about new dedication. It tells us that as Jesus makes his invitation, as he says, hey, you know, I'll transform your lives, it says at once they left their nets and followed him. One of the things that we need to understand from this passage is that the divine calling, the divine invitation is seeking a personal response. Like, what are we going to do? Because if you're within the sound of my voice, if, like, Jesus wants you to be in relationship with him. He wants to bring forgiveness of sins. He wants to bring transformation to your life. The question is will we stay where we're at, or will we move to follow him? You see, having a new dedication actually happens in two different ways. The first part is leaving. The second part is following. And I want to talk about leaving. You'll notice it says they left their nets. Again, it's not that fishing was a bad thing, but they did leave a lesser thing for a greater thing. One of the things I know about people is we like to have our way. How many of you like to have your way? Right? Like you're like, there's things you just like, you hold on to, and you're just like, I ain't letting this sucker go. I like it this way. I like my life to be predictable. I like my life to be comfortable. And I have found those things that have done that for me, and I will hold on to them. You see, fishing was, again, it was more than just hobby for Peter and Andrew, James and John. This was their livelihood. This was the way that they served their community. And Jesus is like, I want you to follow me. And he says they left the nets. I remember reading the story or the idea of how to catch a monkey. Because how many know, like having a monkey for a pet when you're a kid sounds like a really great idea. How many wanted a monkey at some point? I'd love to have a monkey. Yeah, some of us, right? I'm not the only one. I found out the way by which they would catch monkeys is they would take a gourd and they would cut a small hole in it just large enough for a monkey to put its hand inside the gourd. And then what they would do is they would get monkeys' favorite treats and sweets and they would put them inside the gourd. And when the monkey found it, the monkey would put his hand in and then grab it and then try and pull his hand out. But because the monkey had grabbed the thing, he couldn't pull it out. And so his desire to grasp became the thing by which he became ensnared and trapped. Did you know that in our lives sometimes we get ensnared and trapped because of the things that we're holding on to so tightly? And God's like, listen, there's so much more that I have for you. And the question is are we willing to let go of some of the things that we think are so important for our lives in order that we might experience something greater. This is what Jesus said. He talks about this idea of whoever wants to save their life must lose it. And those who lose their lives for my sake will find it. Like, he's talking about this idea that, you know, there's some things we just have to let go. You see, Jesus is like, hey, I want you to be a part of it. And part of making disciples is helping people let go of lesser things for greater things. And not only just leaving, but also following. And it says they followed him. And that idea of following there is this idea of to be in the same way with. That you're going to travel the same road as Jesus. Traveling the same road as Jesus. That means we're going to learn from him. We're going to model. We're going to reflect what it is that he does. We're going to say the things that he says. We'll learn from him and we'll live like him. And this is what following involves. And really it is a total commitment of one's life. It's a new road, a new direction, a new way of living. You see, this whole idea of following Jesus is really about a new dedication. The old song simply says, I have decided to follow Jesus. And that decision moves from just an idea that we have to something that we do. And I'm convinced that when we actually say, hey, you know what, I want to be a part of what God is doing. Because how many know God's up to something in our days? Mm-hmm. And the question is, will we partner with him in what he is doing? Will we join him in his mission? Because if we do, we need to get some things started. Because taking on mission begins to set some good things in motion. And what we first need to do is we need to make the move. We actually need to make the decision in our life that, you know what? I am going to come after Jesus. I am going to follow after him. I'm going to say yes to him. Not only that, it's about beginning to see, you know what, there is so much that he wants to do in and through our lives. To allow the Holy Spirit to direct us. Because there's no place you go where you step your foot where his mission is not able to make a difference. The last thing I would note is this. And with this, I want to invite the worship team to come. If we're going to make a difference, we have to choose to be difference makers. Again, it's about setting good things in motion. The reason we live on mission is to set good things in motion. It's about joining Jesus in what he wants to do to see hearts and lives touched and changed. And the question is will you and I be the difference maker? Okay, so remember a story, like a news story, like a real life event that happened. I believe it happened in Michigan, and it was about a male and a female. And I don't know what their whole relationship was. All I know is that the relationship was significantly abusive. And what happened is the abuse of the relationship spilled out into the public. So that all of a sudden, this man is going after this woman on a bridge. He's verbally attacking her. He's threatening her physically, and at times he's even lashing out and hitting her. In the midst of all of this, a crowd begins to form all around as they watch this terrible thing play out. People are aghast as they see this and this and all the like the what was being said, what was being done. The woman became so scared, she's like, I have to get away from him. And because of the way he was threatening her, the only place that she felt secure was on the other side of the railing. She was holding on to the railing. And he continued to lash out with his words and lash out with his hands. He was taunting the people who were watching. And he swung at her again. She lost her grip. And before a whole crowd, she plunged into the the river. She ended up drowning. So the reporters come around, because this is like absolutely horrific, and the question was, why didn't anybody do something? And they actually interviewed people around. You can actually look this up. This is a news article. So it's crazy. And the people were like this. If somebody else would have gone first, I would have helped. Like, why didn't you do anything? Because I was waiting for someone else to move. And if that someone else moved, then I'd get involved. Can I tell you, the mission that we're called to be a part of is so significant because we're dealing not just with like all this physical junk that goes on, but there's a very real enemy that wants to destroy people. He'll dress it up as something good. He'll still use language and words and all these things to drive people down. And you and I, we watch. Stand around. Jesus is looking at his church and just simply saying, who will be the difference maker? Who will make a difference in this setting? Who will be the one that will carry my message? Who will be the one that will speak hope? Who will be the one that will shine light? It's interesting when you get to the book of Revelation. You know how Jesus describes the church? The church is to be a lampstand. A lampstand, a light that shines in the darkness. That's what we're called to be. We're called to make a difference in the midst of all the noise and all the junk that's going on. And really, we are called to set some good stuff in motion. And just so you know, it's not easy. Sometimes it's a little scary. Sometimes it puts us in vulnerable positions. But there is a goodness and there is a grace that Jesus wants to get to people. And he's chosen to do it through you and through me. You see, we need to be a part of the mission. Because the mission helps set good things in motion. You know, I think about Peter, James, John, Andrew. Their whole world was lived around a little lake called the Sea of Galilee. Like, they were fishermen. How many know you can only take fish so far before they start stinking? Like, you're gonna be kind of isolated to an area if this is part of your trade stuff. Jesus looks at them and says, hey, I want you to be a part of something way bigger. I want you to be a part of an adventure that will take you far further than you ever imagined. And so Peter will go, end up from the little Sea of Galilee. He'll end up making a difference in a place called Rome. John would end up in Ephesus. James would end up giving his life for his Savior. Andrew would take the gospel up into the area that we know today as the Ukraine. Like just normal guys. Because they were willing to come after Jesus. And just as we close, I want you to know there's a mission that Jesus is calling you and me to be a part of. And the question is, will we simply say yes to him? Will we move from the place that we are and just say, Lord, I'm here. I will follow after you. I will live your purpose. I will serve your purpose. And just so you know, in some of it, there's going to be some things that Jesus is going to say, hey, you know what? I want to take you places, but there's some things you need to let go. And what I have found is this, is that even in our letting go, there's something so much greater we end up gaining. May we be a church on mission. May we be followers who are making disciples. May we be a people that are about God's business. Because our world needs His good. Lord, we bow our heads before you. Grateful for love and grace that transforms us. Lord, we say thank you that you have rescued us from darkness and you've brought us into the light. Lord, you have forgiven us our sins. You've invited us to follow you. And God, may we be a people that live on mission no matter where we put our foot. May we be people who help extend the divine invitation. God, would you give us eyes to see the potential in those around us, even though sometimes our lives look so messy. And God, may we help people as they make decisions to follow after you. I thank you that there's a life that you have for us that is greater than anything this world can know. I thank you for a life that is greater than death and sickness and disease and brokenness. And Lord, we need you. And just while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, maybe you're here today and you have never made a decision to follow Jesus with your life. Maybe you've heard the stories. Maybe you've been in that place where you're like, oh yeah, that looks like a good idea. But you never really made that step. I want you to know the best thing you can do is to surrender your life to Jesus, because he forgives your sin. He takes the junk of your life and out of it he makes something good. And if you have never made a decision to follow Jesus, and you're like, well, you know what, I want to make that decision. Or maybe you're here and you made that decision at one point, but you kind of moved away from it, doing your own thing. And you're saying, Jesus, would you forgive me? I choose to follow you. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Because I want to pray with you. See that hand? That one. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Lord Jesus, you see these hands. Lord, you see these decisions. And God, I ask that your grace would rest upon them. Lord, I thank you for forgiveness that we find. I thank you that you give us courage and boldness to step into something new. And Jesus, we just need your help. We need your grace. Lord, may we be a people that set things in motion. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, see movement, a movement that produces momentum, that your goodness might touch and change our families, our communities, our country, and our world. Lord, we need your grace. And we simply choose to follow you. Thank you for this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to sing the song as we close. And I'll just say, if maybe you're here and you just like prayer for something, if you want to make prayer saying, Jesus, I'm committing, you want to come up and kneel, you're welcome to. If you would like someone to pray with you about anything that's going on in your life, I'll be up here. I'll pray with you. Levine, you might say it on that side. Levine will be over here. We just want to believe with you, because we believe in a God who sets good things in motion as we trust him.